Welcome to Live Daf, your online Daf Yomi Shir.
Shalom Aleichem and welcome back to today's Daf Yomi. Kedushin Ayin Gimel. We are holding on Ayin Beis Amud Beis, three lines from the bottom of the Amud. Tanu Rabbanan, we have learned in a Braisa. Ger, Noisei Mamzeres, Divrei Rabbi Yosi, according to Rabbi Yosi. Although a mamzer may not join Kahal Hashem, the community of Hashem, but a ger, he's allowed to marry mamzeres, as we're going to learn in a minute, because Kahal, according to Rabbi Yosi, only refers to the primary community of Klal Yisrael, and not those that came later, the gerim. Rabbi Da'imer ger le'isa mamzeres. No, a ger may not marry a mamzeres, he's included in Kahal Hashem. Halacha number two, says the Braisa. Echad ger, echad eved mishichrar, v'cholol, mutarim b'kohenes. Although a kohen is limited in his abilities, he cannot marry a giyayres, a shivcha who was released, or a chalola, an isha born from psulei kohuna, let's say a kohen marries a grusha, etc. So a kohen must be careful to only marry an isha who is kosher to him. But a kohenes, a female kohen, she's not limited. In this respect, she can marry a ger, etc., etc. Okay, so we have two halachis. One is that a kohenes is allowed to marry all these psulim, Rashi brings, because lo yuhus haru kohenois linosu lipsulim. If this fellow is allowed to marry a kohenes, so from his perspective, there's no Isser, so she can do the same. As opposed to a Kohen, who must marry only an Isha Kishira. And the Braisa began with the other Machlaikas regarding a Mamzeres. Can a Ger marry a Mamzeres or not? Rabbi Yosi says yes. Rabbi Yehuda says no. My time with Rabbi Yosi, why does Rabbi Yosi allow it? Answer is, Chamisha Kahali Ksive. If you look at the Psukim, which discuss the limitation in terms of marriage, psulei yoychsin, it says lo yavi mamzer b'kal Hashem, lo yavi loy b'kahal. Rashi brings all these psukim. Amoinim yavi also cannot join kahal, etc., etc. So it says it five times instead of just putting it all together, that the following individuals may not marry into the community. So why mention kahal five times? Each one has a drasha. Chad l'kohanim, if it would only say Kahal once, I would say, well, you know, all these individuals, the Mamzer, the Amoini, may not marry Kohanim, because, you know, they're the highest cream of the crop of Klal Yisrael. They have higher standards. If it would say it once again, V'chad Levim, I would say, well, okay, now we know Levim as well. May not marry these individuals. Would say it yet a third time, I would say, okay, v'chad l'Yisraelim, Yisraelim have these limitations as well. So that's number three. Why the fourth one? V'chad l'mishri mamzer b'shtuki. One is to tell you that although he's a mamzer, he can marry a shtuki. Shtuki is a suffic mamzer. We don't know who his father is. So when he calls out, father, father, the mother quiets him down. No, he's not really. So we don't really know who the father is. He's a suffolk. Maybe he's a mamzer. The pasuk says a mamzer should not join Kahal Hashem. Somebody who is certainly part of Kahal Hashem. Vadai, part of Kahal Hashem. But Kahal suffolk, somebody who is questionable in terms of his status, shtuki, a mamzer can join a shtuki. So that's what we learn from the pasuk. Lo yevi mamzer. Be'kahal Hashem, he can marry a shtuki because the shtuki is a suffic kahal. And the fifth one is v'chad l'mishri shtuki b'Yisrael. What about a shtuki marrying Israelis? Yep, that's okay, because it says l'yavay mamzer be'kahal Hashem, which means only a mamzer who's certainly a mamzer cannot join kahal Hashem, but one who is a suffic mamzer, like a shtuki, he can join, marry a Israelis. So basically, all five kohals have been applied to various halachis, to tell you the extent and the parameters of the of these guidelines. Bottom line is, we're left with one group which has not yet been addressed. Kahal's gerim le'ikri kahal. So what about the converts, the gerim? Are they considered part of Kahal Hashem? We have no reason to believe they are, because we have no pasuk to include them. That is Rabbi Yossi's shita, and therefore mamzer can marry a ger. Geris. Or a ger can marry a mamzeris, either way. Rabbi Yehuda, he responds, he says, no, of course not. Ger, he's kahal. We have a pasuk for it. What do you mean? We don't have a pasuk for it. Well, he says like this. The fact that the Torah mentions the word kahal five times allows us one to be used for gerim. Why? Because we don't need one pasuk for kahanim and one pasuk for levim, as we just said. Because kahanim and levim mechad kahal nafki. Since they come from one shevet, mentioning the word kahal once includes both kahanim and levim. So we don't need one for the Kohanim, one for the Levim. So sort of super the price of wonder. They're both included in the same kahal, which ultimately leaves us with an extra kahal, Iyater, Leil Kahal Gerim, to incorporate Gerim into Kahal Hashem. They must live by the same standards, they have the same limitations in terms of yichus, marriages, etc. They cannot interact with imams. Yiboy Yisema, another teretz can be. How do we get an extra kahal to address the Gerim? Perhaps for Kohanim we need a special call, for Levim a special call. Okay, so how do we have an extra call for the Gerim? We'll bundle together two other halachas, which we thought requires call for each halacha. No, we'll bundle them together, two for the price of one. Mamzer b'shtuki, to allow a mamzer to marry a shtuki, as we said before, because Layova Mamzer b'kal Hashem means kol vadei, but a shtuki is a kol suffik. He's allowed to marry a mamzer. And the second halacha as well, on the flip side, a shtuki be Yisrael. Can a shtuki go marry Yisrael? Yeah, because he's not a mamzer vadei. Only a mamzer vadei cannot marry Yisrael, but a shtuki is a suffik mamzer. So both these had terim, both these allowances are really based on the same pasuk, mechad kol nafka. It's both rooted in the same pasuk. We don't need two separate psukim. The pasuk says, Lo yovei mamzer b'kahal Hashem. And we learned it like this, in a way that incorporates both of these halachas. Mamzer vaday, hudu lo yovei. Only if he's really established as a mamzer. Then he cannot marry in. Ha mamzer safek yovei b'kahal yovei. But if he's only a safek mamzer, such as a shtuki, he can join. And the second halacha as well. A mamzer should not join b'kahal Hashem. Only one who is certified as part of kahal Hashem, b'kahal vaday hud lo yavi, he can't join that. Ho b'kahal safek yavi, but a mamzer can join up with a fellow who's questionable kahal. He's a shtuki. That's okay. So basically, we join together two halachas under the banner of the same kahal, leaving us an extra kahal to include the ger. But you say, yet a third pshat. Ha'ani nami trei kahal ninu. No. These two halachas just mentioned, each one is rooted in a separate pasuk. Rashi explains because otherwise we would say, well, a suffik mamzer, he's no different than a vadi mamzer. Suffik d'oraisa l'chumra. Right? So we wouldn't allow a suffik mamzer to come join the community. That's why we need a special pasuk, one per halacha. One is to allow the mamzer to marry a shtuki, one is to allow a suffik mamzer like a shtuki to marry Israelis. So where's the extra kahal to address the gerim? The time of the Rabbi comes from a different source, mehach. A pasuk which labels gerim as part of kahal. Hakol chuka achas lochem v'lager, v'lager hager. So we see a reference to gerim in the pasuk of kol, and therefore they may not marry a mamzer. Well, Rabbi Yossi responds, chuka achas hifseka inyan. The words chuka achas in this pasuk sort of divide the pasuk into two. dissecting the pasuk in that manner takes the gerim away from the word kol. So kol does not relate to the gerim. Okay, so we've just discussed and analyzed the first part of the braisa. May a ger marry a mamzer, or vice versa. Mamzeres a ger marrying a mamzeres, or mamzeres a ger, or a mamzer a geres, right? Rabbi Yossi says, yep, you can do that. Gerim are not called Kahal Hashem. Of course, they're part of the Klal Yisrael, but the term Kahal Hashem is very specific. The original Kahal, and therefore gerim don't have this limitation, don't have this restriction. Whereas Rabbi Yossi says, we have an extra Kahal, or we have a special pasuk, hakol, like we just mentioned, that refers to gerim as well. Now let's move over to part number two of that price. Echad ger, v'echad eved meshuchrer, v'cholol, all these individuals, mutar and mekayenes, can marry a female kohen. Why? Masayeya, lo, leil, Rav Yudo, Amar Bidam Rav, Rav Yudo, Amar Rav said the same thing, and this is supports Rav Bidam Rav, lo yuz haruk, shedois, nosil psulim, that all these individuals who are unable to marry kohanim, a kohen may not marry a geiris, a chalala, etc. But if she's a female kohen, she's allowed to marry a male chalal, a male geir. So Rashi brings that, of course, when we speak about ordinary yisurim, like a mamzer, just like a yisrael may not marry a mamzeris, she is not allowed to marry a yisrael either if she's a mamzer. So it goes both ways. But here it's different. This limitation, this iser for a kohen to marry a chalal, is, well, she's not on his standards. He has higher standards. That's only a male kohen. He has that halacha. But a female kohen, kohenus, does not have that halacha. She doesn't serve in the mikdash. Whatever, she's different than a kohen. She can marry a chalal, a ger, provided the ger and the chalal have no problem marrying her, which is true in this case. There's no iser for a chalal or a ger or a Eved Meshuchar to marry Kehenas. So it goes both ways. Just like there's no problem on his end, there's no problem on her end either. Okay, so that sort of concludes this price. Let's go back to the other halacha regarding a ger marrying a mamzeres. Because according to Rabbi Yossi, the term, the label, Kahal, does not apply to a ger. Darash Rabbi Zera v'Mechayza. So Rabbi Zera gets up in the town of Mechayza, which was inundated with mamzer, with gerim, full of lots of gerim. And he says, Rabbi Yisai, I have good news for you. Ger mutar mamzeres. You know, you're allowed to marry mamzeres. They took it personally as an offense. Right? They were offended. What do you mean? You don't hold us the same standards as a regular member of the community? Rogamu kuli alma besrugayu. Apparently it was sukkahs, and they all tossed their esroigim in his direction. Started stoning him with the esroigim. Amar Rava, so Rava says, you know, you got to be careful in a town like Mechayza. You got to be politically correct. Mi ikad adorish milsuki hai. Is it proper for a person to get up and say these things? Beduchta deshchichi giyayri, in a place where there's a large percentage of gerim. To be careful not to. Darosh Rava b'mechayza. So Rava gets up b'mechayza, and he starts off on a positive note. He was going to get to that halacha as well, but first he wanted to put them on, you know, solid footing. Make them, you know, appease them, satisfy them. He says, ger muta b'kehenes. First of all, you should know that a ger is allowed to marry a kehenes, as we just learned a minute ago, right? Because although a kohen may not marry a geres, but the opposite works. So a ger is not limited in terms of his ability to marry a kehenes. You can access the best of the best. Okay, they're all pleased to hear that Rava respects them, and Tanu b'shiroi, they covered him with silk material. They very happy about what he said. Then he threw in, you know, as an add-on, Hadar Darosh Lehu. He came and he added, well, by the way, there's another point. Ger mutab mamzeres. Not only can you marry a kohenis, you can marry a mamzeres as well. So this sort of undid the you know, the good feeling which was generated by that first halacha. So sort of now they're relegated to a lower standard. Amr Leis, they told him, You just undid what you did, what you told us before. So you basically, counteracted. Lifted us, you elevated us. Now you're sort of, putting us down again. Amar Lewis, he says, no, it's the opposite. I'm giving you access to anybody from one side of the spectrum to the other. You're unlimited. I provided you with what's best for you. All the options are open. I gave you everything. If you want, you can marry from these. You can marry the Kehanim. If you want, you can marry Ramzer. All the options are open. Isn't that great? He sort of tried to, package it in a way which was palpable and not personal, in a way that, they won't take it personally. So what's the halacha l'maisa? Ger mutav b'kayhenes, v'mutav mamzeres. Yep. So both things are true. A ger can marry a kayhenes and a mamzeres. Why? B'kayhenes. How can a ger marry a kayhenes? As we explained before, la'yuzah rukshereis, l'inasad apsulim. Nothing wrong with a kayhenes to marrying an apostle. V'mutav mamzeres. How can a ger marry a mamzeres? Rabbi Yisak, we said before, because the term kol, which limits us from marrying a mamzer, doesn't apply to the gir. Back to the Mishnah, which presents us with the asora yochsim, then 10 types of families. So one category is the shtuki, one is the asufi. What is shtuki? He identifies as, he knows who his mother is, but not his father. Amarava, you should know that Dvar Torah Shtuki Kosher, strictly speaking, Minat Torah, nothing wrong with her Shtuki. You know why? My time. Roiv Ksheirim Etzla, Umiyut Pesulim Etzla. Speaking about an unmarried woman who has this child. Most likely, there are more options. Right? We don't know who the father is, right? Can be anybody out there. The assumption is, for the most part, we're speaking about Kosher options. Not... We assume she didn't interact with a mamzer, so this child was not fathered by a mamzer or a relative, right? So most likely, it's just another fellow who's okay. It was inappropriate, but the child is not affected. It's not a mamzer or a apostle. There is a minority, a small percentage of really problematic options. If she interacted as married with a relative or with a mamzer, in which case the child is affected. So Rav dictates the child's fine. Now, depends how it happened. If this fellow, whoever he is, Mr. Unknown, came to her place, her house, and that's where they interacted, called the parish, Muru parish. Then we'll say it, because halacha is when you have the majority of one type, and something came from there over to here. We're not sure where he came from. Did he come from the majority or the minority? We assume he came from the majority, and we have just established that the Roiv dictates that he was kosher. So that determines the status of his child. You go, you follow the Roiv. And he's okay. My Amr, so what are you concerned about? Dilma Ozla, Ihi Ligabayu. Maybe instead of this fellow coming to her place, she went to his place. Okay, so he wasn't Pirish. He didn't separate from the general equation and come to her. She went to his place. So halacha is, when you go to the place of the problematic entity, havali kavua, it's called kavua. It's established in its place, its home, it's set in its place. And then we no longer, consider it part of the general equation. You have to sort of look at that individual element on its own, independent of all the other options, of all the other possibilities. So you can't follow the roiv. It becomes like a straight 50-50. I'm not sure. Was he good or was he not good? So the chiddush is, even though most people out there are kosher with respect to this incident, but you can't sort of connect him to the general equation because he stands alone. He's in his own house. It's called kavua. So then it's a straight out suffix. It's a 50-50. V'chol kavua kemechza mechza. It's like half and half. We don't know. Is he kosher? Is he possible? But still, says the Gemara, even if this is how it happened, it wouldn't be a problem. But Torah Amr, we just had the pasuk before, Lo Yaveh Mamzer, Bikal Hashem. Mamzer is Mamzer Vandai. Who do Lo Yaveh? Only if he's certainly a Mamzer, then he can't join. Ha Mamzer Safik Yaveh Bikal. Her mom is a suffix, yovei. Stop. But if he's a mom of a suffix, such as this child, at the worst case, he's a suffix, 50-50, right? He can join. He can marry. And we learn as well, b'kal vada hu lo yovei. A mamzer cannot join the general community, who's a vade kol. Ho b'kal suffix yovei. But if he's a suffix kol, like a shtuki, then he can marry a mamzer. So bottom line, minat Torah. A shtuki, even at worst case scenario, he's a suffix mamzer, it's still okay. Umatam amru shtuki pasul. So why did the Chachamim label him as a shtuki and limit his options? Why can't he marry Yisrael? It's a midrabon. Gzeiro sham yisa achoisem yaviv. You see, there's a gzeiro. There's always a chance that this shtuki, since he doesn't know who his father is, if he takes a woman and he marries her, she might be his sister from his father's side. He might have the same father. So although it's unlikely, I mean, Torah, you don't have to be concerned, but the Rabbanon, lest that lead to negligence and to zilzel and negating these halachas. So we limit this fellow's options. We say, don't marry a Israelis. This way it sends a message to be careful from marrying Achoisem Yaviv. Asks the Gemara, Elam Ata Shtuki Shtukis Layisa. But a Shtuki can marry a Shtukis, somebody, a woman, the same boat, the same status, whose father is unidentified. We shouldn't allow it. We should not allow it. Midrabbana. You know why? And the Mishnah does, right? The Mishnah says a Shtuki can marry a Shtukis. Why shouldn't he marry her? For the same reason, Layisa Shamisa Achoisem Yaviv. They might be sharing a father. This fellow's father is unidentified, so is her father. Answers the Gemara, Kol ki hani mazano v'azli. It's very unlikely. Basically, we're attributing all these shtuki fellows in town to this one person. That's what generates this concern, that perhaps these two shtukim share a father. Unlike that, all the shtukim are from the same man. Well, bas shtukis lo yisa. A shtuki can marry a daughter of a shtukis, right? Because she's really technically, tainted by that status. So that is allowed to do, says the Mishnah, right? He can marry Israelis. But a bas shtukis, a woman whose mother is a shtukis, he can marry. No, he shouldn't. Lo yisa. Shema yisa choyse mi aviv. Perhaps Reuven, who's a shtuki, is a son of, let's say, Shimon. We don't know who it is, but let's say it's Shimon. And it so happens that Shimon married this shtukis, and had his daughter. So why aren't we chayshish? We should be concerned that perhaps that's what happened. So Reuven should not marry a daughter of a shtukis. So before we said, he can marry a shtukis because all the shtukim are coming from the same father. Okay, fine, got it. But a daughter of a shtukis he shouldn't marry because, and we're letting him marry a daughter of a shtukis, right? Maybe they share the same father. Him and this daughter share the same father. Shem Isa Chayisim Yaviv. El Shricha says the Gemara. Okay, so the whole idea of the concept of shtuki and is not something which is shchiach, says Rashi in the second pshat. And the halacha is we never do a gzeira on something which is uncommon. So that, therefore we allow him to go marry these individuals. So back to our original question: why can't he marry a regular isha Yisraelis without concern? The whole concept of a shtuki is such an uncommon phenomenon. We don't make gzeiras for uncommon situations. If not Torah, he can do it. Why are we holding him back? Elo says, the Gemara, you're right. Malo also be yichus. When it comes to yichus, we make that extra effort to maintain the integrity of Klal Yisrael's lineage and family purity. So we apply this restriction, and we don't allow a shtuki to marry the regular community. V'amar Rava says, Rava, another point. V'ar Torah asufi kasha. So basically the same back and forth regarding the next case in the Mishnah. A Sufi, a fellow abandoned, taken off the street, father unknown, mother unknown, minat Torah, he can marry. He can join the community. My time, and why? Using the same rationale as before by the Yishtuki. Eshes ish b'bala toilo. Why was this kid abandoned? Was he the product of an Eshes ish? Why would she abandon him, even if she committed znus, which generated this child? She would just blame it on her husband. Husband is the best alibi. She wouldn't have to just abandon him out of fear. She would just blame it on her husband. Ma'ika, so what could be a concern? Why would a woman abandon her child? Miut arusis, umiut shahalach balayim dinasayam. Because perhaps this child was generated by a situation which is very problematic and embarrassing for the Isha. She was merely engaged to a man, and that wouldn't justify a child being born. So she abandoned him out of shame. Or another option could be that her husband is out of town, traveled Medina Sayyam, and again, she has no husband to attribute this child to, so out of embarrassment, she abandoned him. So basically, for the most part, we assume a child is... if he's coming from an Ashes Ish, there would be no reason for her to abandon him. Right? If he's really a mamzer generated by an Ashes Ish who committed zinus, she wouldn't abandon him. No reason. She has a full cover story. It's my husband's child. But there are some, you know, unlikely situations where, yeah, maybe she was merely an arusa, or she was a married woman whose husband wasn't around. So, if that's indeed what happened, then this child can be a real a mamzer, right? But on the other hand, there are other likely scenarios which generated this abandonment. Kivin ikah pnuya, an unmarried woman who had a child. So again, that could have been the case, and that's why she abandoned him. Yikarami demachmas ru'avin, or unfortunately, it was a time of famine. She couldn't afford to a regular mother. A legitimate child, perfect child, but she couldn't, you know, support him, so she abandoned him. So basically, you have factors in the negative, factors in the positive. True, this child can be a mamzer. Perhaps he was generated by a arusa who interacted with a stranger, generated a mamzer. Or by an ashes ish who was mazana, but her husband wasn't around to blame him on. So in those two cases, the child is a mamzer. On the other hand, you have situations which would not have created a mamzer. Unmarried woman was mazana, or a married woman who had a perfect child, but you know, financially she could not hold on to him. So basically, you have two scenarios which don't bode well for this child. On the other hand, on the other side of the scale, you have two situations, two possible options, which do bode well for the child. Have a palgo palgus, it's like basically 50-50. This child could have been product of two types of cases where he is a mamzer, or he could have been a regular child, abandoned for other reasons, right? But Torah Rambam, the pasuk says, Lo yavim mamzer b'kal Hashem. Only an established mamzer, a certified mamzer, cannot join. Mamzer vaday hud lo yavi, right? But this case, mamzer safek is just a safek mamzer. Yavi, he can join. And bekal vaday lo yavi. And even a mamzer, he cannot join kahal vaday. Ha bekal safek yavi, you can join somebody who's a kahal safek, a safek mamzer. So the bottom line is, why is our Sufi not allowed to marry Israelis? At most, he's just a safek mamzer. Could be a mamzer, could be not. Umatam umra sufi apostle, so why can't he join? Like we said before, Shema, Yisa Chaisim Yav, it's Gzered Rabbanon. Because, since he doesn't know who his father is, he might end up encountering his own sister. Unbeknownst to him, his wife is really his sister, with whom he joins a father. Ela Miata Sufi, so if that's the case, we're not letting him marry Israelis, but he's allowed to marry a Sufi, right? So says the Mishnah. So why? A Sufi should not marry a Sufis. A Sufis la'yisa, for the same reason. Because she might be his sister. One of two ways. Either they share a father or a mother. Well, that's unlikely. Kalhani shadi ba'azli. You think that this woman just keeps on tossing away her kids. One day she tossed away her son, one day a daughter. Unlikely. So it's unlikely that they both share the same mother. Says the Gemara, Bas Asufis lo yisa. What about the daughter of an Asufis? He's allowed to marry her, right? So says the Mishnah. He shouldn't. Shem yisa choysoi. Because maybe Reuven, who is an Asufi, had a father called Shimon, who married this Asufis, who had a daughter. Now Reuven's going to marry his daughter, with whom he shares their father. So the whole thing of a Sufi is not a common situation, so we don't come down hard, we're not going to make limitations, we don't make zero when something is not Shchiach. So then, let's go back a step. So why at all do we limit the Asufi's options in terms of marriage? The whole thing is not Shchiach. Let's leave him alone. Elamala also b'yechs, like we said before, we apply special restrictions and higher standards when it comes to Yechsim of Klal Yisrael, and that's why we limit his options. Amar Rava Barafuna. Let's further analyze this topic called Asufi. Who's an Asufi? A kid who was abandoned and taken off the street, father unknown, mother unknown. What constitutes an Asufi and what doesn't? Motzoi Mohu. So if they discovered this baby had a bris milah, ein b'mishum Asufi. We have no concern about his status, about his kashrus, says Rashi on the top line. Why not? Do you love the kasher who? If not for the fact that he's a kosher, he wouldn't. The father, the mother would not have troubled themselves to give him the bris milah. So apparently he's a perfect child and abandoned for other reasons. Mishalte hadme, you know, they used to straighten out the limbs of a newborn. If he's visibly taken care of, if he was looked after, you see that he was tended to properly. Once again, it's a good sign. Anybody mishum asufi. He doesn't have the status of a Sufi. Apparently, he's kosher, perfect child. Likewise, Shayef Mishcha, Malikuchla. If he's being smeared with oil, Malikuchla, they saw his eyes, you know, had an ornament, but, you know, had eye paint applied for aesthetic purposes, Rami Chumri. If there are some amulets filled with grasses for medical purposes, Talipitko, he has some sort of a different type of amulet on. Like a written amulet, Vitali Kimiya, and he has some other type of amulet made with roots of plants. So basically, three different types of things here. Rami Chumri is some sort of he has some knots. Chumri is a knot, some type of knots which were made for refuah. And then we have the two types of amulets, whether it's containing ksav, that's pisco, or talikmiya, it's containing some sort of plants. Ein b'mishum asufi, once again, it's a good sign. Apparently a child was being looked after, and he's not possible. Tali b'dikli, let's say he is hanging off a palm tree. Imati lechaya, if an animal can access it. Yesh b'mishum asufi, that's not a good sign. We consider it asufi. Apparently nobody looked after him properly, he was just abandoned. Imla, but otherwise if he's safe and sound up on the tree, Amim Shema Sufi, he's not an Asufi because it's probable that his mother, you know, tucked him away safely, away from the animal's reach, hoping that somebody will find him and take care of him. Zardus Smicha Lamasa, what if he was put on this tree of the Uzrudin, some type of tree which is right near the city? That's problematic because the Gemara tells us that tree attracts Shadim. So that's a real concern. Yeshua Mishum Asufi, concerned about Asufi. Ibn Lav, but if this tree is not near the city, no concern. Ibn Mishum Asufi, we assume he's not an Asufi. Beik Nishta, what if he's in the Beis HaMedrash? Smichta Lamasos of the Shul. The Beis HaKnesses is near the city. Vishricha Be Rab, which is frequented by many. Ibn Mishum Asufi, he's not an Asufi. Ibn Lav, otherwise, then he's really abandoned. Yeshua Mishum Asufi, concerned about his status. Amar Meimah, Hai Piro de Sufli. What about this pit filled with date pits? And that's where the child is found. The Yesh B'Mashum HaSufi, that's a real concern. Charifta de Nahara, if he was cast on a cradle out in the middle of the deep part of the river with the boats, in the middle of the shipping lanes. So apparently the mother put him out there hoping somebody would notice him and take him in. Yesh B'Mashum HaSufi, there's no Sufi concern. He's a kosher child. Pishri, but if he's sitting in the shallow waters, which would not be noticed by many. Yesh b'mishum asufi, we have a concern about asufi. He's a really abandoned child. See the issues of Rav, if he's on the sides of the street. Yesh b'mishum asufi, we're not concerned because the mother hopefully put him there, hoping somebody would catch him. Yesh b'mishum asufi, he's in the middle of the street where many trample. Yesh b'mishum asufi is a concern because that's really placing him in danger. Amar Rava, ubish neighbor avoin. But if it's in a time of famine, yesh b'mishum asufi, there's no asufi concern. Ask Samar, what case is Rava speaking about? Where was the child placed? Where was he found? Had Rava Ahaya, which one? Of the aforementioned cases, Ilam Moshe Sarabim, was he placed in the middle of the street? I did a shnei oven katale. Why would times of famine change the equation? He's still being placed in grave danger. Why would a mother do that? Oh, he was placed on the sides of the street. Then my year is shnei oven. Forget about famine. I feel like shnei oven, even if it's just a regular year. Haven't we just said that Tzidei Rishu Sarab is a relatively safe place where we assume the child is okay, he's a kosher child? Eloki itma de rova ahod amar vidam arab abba. Amar av Yehuda bar zavdi marab. Rather, Rava's halacha, Rava's twist about Shnei Ra'ovin is referring to a different halacha. Said by Rav, kol zman shebeshuk, ovev v'imoy nemonim alav. Somebody picks up this child and he's still on the street. A minute later, father and mother come running. Oh, he's our child. We believe them. And we trust them that he's a kosher. Nesaf nashuk, once he's taken in from the street. And now mother comes running. Say, oh, it's my child. He's kosher. He's mine. Ain't him on the love. There's no name on us. Why? My time. I'm a rabbi. Hoil v'yotza olav shem asufi. Once he was labeled an asufi, that's it. It changes the status. And nobody's believed anymore. But my rabbi comes rabbi and adds a point. There's an exception to the rule, ubishnei ra'ovin, times of famine, where unfortunately it was common. Afa bishnesa ben ashuk, ava v'yimu neman olav, even if he was taken in from the street, and he was already sort of established and declared as an asufi, mother or father or neman, Rashi says, because unfortunately it was very common, Chacham did not want to, you know, increase the psulim, and they discounted the fact that he was labeled, and the parents are neman. Amar v'chizda, shloisha, Ne'emanim la'alter. In three cases, the ne'emanus only happens. There's trust given only if it happens immediately. What does that mean? We'll see. Eluhin. In the following three cases, asufi, as we just mentioned, chaya, a midwife who's coming to identify the child that she just helped along. Upeteres chaverseh. That's the third halacha we're going to see in a minute. So asufi, what is that? Hadamar, as we just mentioned, that the ne'emanus is only if it happens right away. So the father, the mother, or ne'eman only until the child was taken off the street. Otherwise, it's too late. He was already established as an asufi. Next case, chaya, a midwife, tesanya. The Brisa says, chaya ne'emanus loymar ze yotze rishon, ze yotze sheni. So the midwife is helping at birth. Mother had twins. She's ne'eman to say, this is the bechor, this is the second one. But med v'mamrum, when does that apply? She didn't leave the room and come back. She left and came back. She sort of lost focus. Perhaps she's now misidentifying the children, the babies. She's not nemen. He has a different parameter. She's standing on her place. She hasn't moved. She's believed to say, this is first, this is second. But otherwise, she moved away. She no longer has trust. Because it gets fuzzy and hazy. My benayu, what's the difference between Rav Lezer and Tanakama? Kibbenayu, the difference is, the hadar apa. She's in the room, but she turned her back, she turned away. Kun Tanakama still qualifies because she's still there, she's on the scene, she's focused. Kun Rav Lezer, once she turns her face away, she no longer has that clarity and that nemonis. Third case is, Peteres Chavarissa. Mayu, what is that? This not. Sholish Noshim, Shoyushenis Vimitachas. Three Noshim on one bed. V'nimtzo dam tachas achas mehem, we discover dam, which apparently is dam nida, beneath one of them. We don't know who it came from. So who's tamei? Kulam tmeyos. So out of uncertainty, we have to deem them all tamei. But batka achas mehem, v'nimtzo tmei. Let's say one of them examines herself and discovers herself to be tamei. So we assume she's the source of the dam. He tmei v'kulam tmeyos. So she maintains the tumah status. It's all blamed on her, and everybody else is okay. Provided she checked herself within a very short time, neither explains exactly what this is. She arrests is pretty much within a very short time after this was the dam was discovered. So now we can attribute it to her, we can blame it on her. But if she took her time checking herself and discovered herself to be tummy later, it isn't necessarily conclusive that she was the one who generated that first dam, and therefore they're all in the same boat. Tanarabon. Back to the nemanus of a midwife. Nemanus chaya leimar. So let's say several women gave birth in the same room. One was a kohenes, one was a levi, one was a nos and a mamzer. So the midwife who helped them all, she can get up and label each kid. Nemenes chaya loymar, this is a kohen, this is a kohen, this is a levi, this is a nos and this is a mamzer. But me, dvar mamur, when do we say she's believed? Shaloi kara aleha shem irer. There's no opposition. There's nobody opposing and saying, well, this child, no, this is the mom's. So there's nothing of that sort. She's believed. Aval korola ira, but she's opposed by some sort of opposition. Eden emen, she's not believed. Now, who exactly is opposed to her? How many people? Is it one person, two people? Ira demai. What's entailed in this ira, in this complaint? Ilei me ira chad, it's one aid who's opposing her. V'amar b'yechon says, we don't reckon with one aid. Ein ira pachas mishtayim. We need shnayim for ira. El ira tre. Oh, there were two aidim that are disputing her account, so they're believed. Another pshat. No, there's only one person disputing. When does Rabbi Yechanan say less than two have no value? Oh, that's your typical case. A person has an established chazaka, established track record as being a fine Jew, so we don't shake that status. We don't question it unless we have two people who oppose it. But in a case such as this one, where you don't have an established identity, this child was just born. Even one aid can make trouble, and therefore we say the chaya only has ne'amanis, she's unopposed, but there's an aid against her, then we have trouble. And the Raisa continues. Ne'aman bal mekach leimar. Just like a chaya is believed to speak about the identity of the newborn, a bal mekach, a vendor, is believed to say, leimar, leimacharti. You know, I sold my car to Ruvei Natashim. He's believed. Why? Because, you know, he has nothing to lose, nothing to gain. He's being honest about who, you know, who the customer is. When do we say he has ne'amonus? When he's still holding on to the item. So he's still focused, he's still cognizant in terms of who the customer is. Let's say he already let go of the item. And they're both these people are grabbing the steering wheel. We don't look back to the vendor and ask him. He's not ne'amon because he's already up to the next deal. Asks the Gemara, one second, what exactly are they fighting about? We assume he only got paid by one person. Let's see who gave him the money. Right? And he's certainly going to remember who gave him the money. So even if the car is out of his hands, but he certainly can tell us who paid him. Apparently we're speaking that he's holding two bundles of money. One on one hand, one on the other. They're both paid. V'amar, and the vendor is claiming that, look, I know I got paid by both. One gave it to me, and one forced me to take it. Chad mi datoy, v'chad bal korchi. One bundle I took willingly, the other one I took against my will. He forced, lo yodiah, and now we don't know. We have no confirmation, independent confirmation. Hai mi datoy, hai mi datoy, which one was given willingly, and is a legitimate deal, and which one not. So therefore, we need the meicher to help us, and we say, well, he's ne'amon, provided he's still in possession of the item, in which case he's cognizant, and focus on what happened. Let's just continue one more piece. Neman dayan leimar. L'zezeh kisi, l'zeh yavti. A judge is neman to say, look, we had it in Torah, and I deem this fellow innocent, this fellow guilty. V'med v'marun, when is that true? K'she bale dinim abdil l'fana, but the litigant is still standing there, and he's focused on this case. Aval ein bale dinim abdil l'fana, but if they're right at the door, he's no longer believed because he's up to the next, he's on to the next thing. Asks the Gemara the same kash as before. What's the whole question? V'nechsi, z'chus ha'manoket. Let's see who's holding the verdict of z'chus. Who is deemed to be the zakai? Who's victorious? Let's see. Says the Gemara, it'sricha de Korea. Z'chusai. We're speaking that it was torn up. Nobody has it. Okay, v'nehadav v'nedaininu. So what's the issue? Let the dying sit down again and redo the din Torah. We assume we'll come to the same conclusion. It's based on, the Torah, which is Teres Chaim. No change in the Torah. But should the dying, he was speaking that there was a unique verdict based on his personal preference. What that means is like this. Not every din Torah is decided by just halacha and fact. Rashi brings, for instance, let's say a fellow gave away, his assets to Tuvia, and two people with the same name show up. We're not sure who he met. Right? So he gave away his stuff, he passed away. Now we're not sure who he... So the Gemara in Ksuba says, Shuda the Daini. It's like, Shuda means like Shuda, throw it away. So the Daini just tosses it in the direction that he deems to be correct. It's sort of like his own judgment call, in terms of who he thinks the giver wanted to give it to based on personal relationship, etc. So that's something that, it's something that it's a feeling thing. It's a determination based on his intuition, so to speak. So, you don't want to redo that. You never know if he'll come to the same conclusion the second time around. So in this case, you can't just say, do it over. Rather, we have to ask him and try to figure out what he decided the first time around. Okay, that does it for today. Let's recap today's daf. We had a machlokes regarding the status of gerim. Can a gerim marry a mamzer or not? Based on the question of what is kohol? Rabbi Yossi says, yep. In fact, we let the gerim marry mamzer, let them marry kohanis as well. So we give them all the options. As Rabbi told the fellows in Machoza, not to worry. It's all open for you. Rava further tells us that Shtuki and Asufi and Menatora are okay because most likely they're Ksherim. The Rabbanon, Ma'ala also B'yuchsim, we limit their options. We discussed all types of scenarios which are indicative of problematic children. So children who are abandoned, presumed to be we have a strong likelihood that they're psulim, at least when they're rabbanon ruchoshish, and therefore we have the limitations in terms of the marriage options of the shtuki v'asufi. What constitutes an asufi, what doesn't? The Gemara gives us all the, all the various parameters, all the guidelines and situations which are reflective of the child's status. We concluded with chizdas halacha that there are individuals who are nemon, provided it happened right away. They're on the case, asufi. Chaya, Pateras Chavarseh, we added Baal Mekach, included with the Nemonis of a Dayan. All the best to you and Hatzlacha Rabbah.